Tony.
We're old.
Thanks for showing up today. We appreciate it. I'm very, very excited to be able to introduce to you two new additions to the Cleveland Browns. On my right, Brian Wiedemeyer, who most recently, well, for a very long time, has been with the Miami Dolphins and the business side of the operation. He will be an executive vice president here in charge of business administration. And on my left, Tom Heckert, our new general manager, who most recently has been with the Philadelphia Eagles with my old friend Andy Reid and done a great job there. We feel very fortunate to have the opportunity to hire both these men. Excellent, excellent football people with a proven track record. And I think the more you get to know them and talk to them, you'll realize that moving forward, there's quite a group up here. And I'm taking myself out of the equation. I'm talking about the other three. Eric and I have talked about many things in moving forward in the last couple weeks. And it was really very, very important that we be able to hire men like these two fellows right here. And so I'm very, very excited. They can speak for themselves. What I'd like to do is start with Tommy, talk a little bit about whatever he wants to talk about. Then we'll go to Brian as a way of introduction. And then after that, we'll entertain questions from you. So, Tom?
Well, thanks. First of all, I'd like to thank, you know, Randy and Mike for giving me this opportunity. It's a very exciting time. And we talked about a lot of things, myself and in Philadelphia, about when was the right time to leave. And, you know, Andy was great about it. Joe Banner was great about it. Jeffrey Lurie was great about it. And they always told me if I felt a situation was a good fit for me, that they'd let me leave. And they stuck to that agreement. And after talking with Mike, I just think this is a very exciting time to get this team back to where I remember when my father was here way back, and, you know, the drive and all those games at the old Cleveland Stadium, and it was exciting. So, you know, I'm just excited to be here, and we look forward to, you know, getting this thing turned around.
I'd like to say how excited I am to be a part of the Cleveland Browns. What a great franchise, great heritage, and what it's meant to the NFL, and just to be a part of it is very exciting. The opportunity to work with Coach Holmgren, Coach Mangini, and Tommy again. Tommy and I were together in Miami years ago with Coach Shula and Jimmy Johnson. It was really an exciting opportunity to be part of a team that included these men. So extremely excited about that. I talked to Coach Shula earlier today and was joking. My career's kind of going the opposite of where his was. He started here with the Cleveland Browns. He was from Painesville, Ohio, and very proud of that fact. He would often talk about John Carroll, which is just down the road, and so we were reminiscing about that. And, you know, the irony is hopefully I'll end my career here.
Thanks, Brian. Before we start the questions, I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, there's a lot of curiosity as to responsibility. I mean, you're ready to ask questions right now, I know, about who's going to do what, who's going to make the call on draft day, who's 53-man roster, who's going to Josh Cribbs. I mean, also, I know you're dying. You're ready. Just relax. Just relax for just a second here. What we're going to do is, and I mean this, it was my hope, and it will continue to be my hope, that the decisions this organization makes going forward will be handled by these fellas right here. I trust them. I believe in them. They're good football people. Responsibilities will be defined. They will be defined. But right now, we're working that stuff out. At the end of the day, however, okay, if we pick a player in the draft, if we make a decision on releasing a player, if we, whatever it happens to be, okay, it's a decision that has been thought through, come to a conclusion by a lot of discussion, maybe some arguing, but at the end of the day, That decision is not a Mike Holmgren decision, an Eric Mangini decision, Tom Heckert decision. It's a Cleveland Browns decision. And I want you to believe that. And that's how we're going to do business from now on. Okay? Hopefully then we make enough good decisions to get it going in the right direction. So I know now you won't have to answer or ask any of those questions that you were going to ask. So I open it to the floor.
Hey, Tom. I'm Tom Witherson, the Associated Press. Welcome. You were on the radar last year, and you withdrew your name kind of at the last minute. Can you just go through that a little bit?
Right. And, you know, I know there's some ideas out there that had something to do with Eric, and it had nothing to do with Eric. And I talked to Randy a few different times during that process. And once I talked to him before, actually, Eric was hired, and then once after. And it was a situation kind of like I alluded to at the beginning of this press conference was, you know, I had a very good situation in Philadelphia, and I was only going to leave if I thought things were a better place for me to be at the time. And, you know, we were winning, and, you know, I thought we had a really good shot at winning the Super Bowl. So I just thought that the whole thing was just it was better for me to stay in Philadelphia at the time. And, you know, that's just how I felt.
I know you haven't had a chance to go through the roster with a fine-tooth comb or anything, but what do you think you're inheriting here? What kind of team are you taking over?
Well, you know, it is real early for that. But, you know, I think the main thing, and I think Eric and Mike will agree to this, that, you know, we want quality character people. And I think, you know, the last four games, that proves something. You know, there's a lot of teams that are in that situation that go the other way. And, you know, it happens a lot. And people think it doesn't, but it does. You know, players just lose interest or whatever, but they didn't. So, you know, I think that's obviously a compliment to Eric and the players. So, you know, I think that's a good start, and it's a good way to end the season, and hopefully we can continue to do that. Thank you.
The composition of your roster in Philadelphia speaks for itself, what you and Andy did drafting. Could you give us an idea of your philosophy in terms of just how you arrive at everything that it has been so successful in the years in Philly?
Well, you know, it's, I think, you know, everybody that sits up there and answers that question is probably going to have the same opinion where, you know, you obviously want smart, tough, good character guys. But you got to have guys that are willing to do whatever it takes to win and play football. And, you know, it's a tough game, and we all know that. And, you know, it's just I think throughout the NFL it's a common theme to say all those things, but there's a way of getting to know that and figuring all that stuff out and, you know, interviewing players and getting good people that are good scouts. All that, you know, rolls into the whole thing. And, you know, hopefully we can get that done here. And, you know, that's kind of the philosophy.
Lots changed. Just talk about how these guys sit next year.
First of all, it's pretty great to be up here with three other people, I got to tell you. Other people getting questions. This is. I can get used to this. This is great. It's been exciting for me. And when I had a chance to sit down with Mike and spend some time with him, not everybody has that opportunity. And to be able to work with him and learn from him and just be able to spend time sharing ideas and all those things. It's a unique situation for any coach and for any head coach. And I was excited about that opportunity, and I'm more excited today with the opportunity we have as a group. And I really have started to get to know everybody here, and I think things are very bright for us.
Do you think, Eric, that that you'll be able to concentrate more on only coaching now with Mike and Tom?
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest benefits is to be able to focus on that, and like I said, to have a resource in the building to bounce ideas off of, and. It's not common, but it's really positive. And as we've talked over the course of months, whenever you can infuse really smart, really talented men like these three men here, it's unique. And it's exciting for me. It's exciting for the organization. It's exciting for the city of Cleveland. And I'm proud to be a part of it.
Mike, you alluded to this yesterday on the call about how you thought Eric had responsibilities placed on him that were not his fault. Did you see a parallel to what happened to you in Seattle that
after those were some were taken away, did you become a better coach than previously? I'm not inferring that he wasn't. I'm just saying, did you see parallels?
Tony, I thought I've never looked at those two situations that way. I think the situations were different. I think Eric, as the season went along, more responsibilities kind of came to him. And, you know, it's very difficult when you're trying to balance all the personnel decisions while you're coaching and any number of things. It was different. He had a harder job than I had. I went to Seattle. I knew what I was getting into. I wanted that. I wanted to be coach and general manager and have that responsibility. And even though I've been kind of ripped a little bit from my time as general manager there, I thought we were headed in the right direction. I messed up. I made some mistakes. And there's no question about that. But, you know, everybody does. And but I kind of relished that role. But I was kind of thought about it. I prepared for it. I don't think he was more thrust into it. Now, are you a better coach when you can just coach and not worry about all that other stuff? You certainly have more time, you know. And your focus, I suppose, should be better, yeah, on coaching. But I'll say it again. It's not like all of a sudden we're here, Tom's here, I'm in Brian, and now Eric, all he has to do is doodle X's and O's on it. But that's not how it's going to work. That's not how it's going to work. He's going to be very involved in the player decisions. You know, that's how it's going to work. Now, will he have to worry quite as much? No. I want to take some of the worry away from him, or the anxiousness, you know, away from him. So maybe he can spend a little more time. He doesn't have to worry about so many things.
Mike, Bill Lewis.
Hey, Bill.
You alluded to mentoring in the past, and you were a teacher for a long time. And from reading about you, you like to make football analogies to historical figures. It's a little off the wall, but who did you admire, and are there any analogies to these men flanking you to historical figures?
Well, you know what? I taught United States history when I was a high school teacher.
Coach Hayes used to do this all the time.
Did he? Well, I wouldn't begin to compare myself with Coach Hayes, but you know what? I think there are some wonderful, wonderful parallels you can draw. Absolutely. The thing that I found out going forward over the years, as I bring up one of these things to my team, as I got older and the age of the team remained the same, I bring up somebody and they'd go, who? You know, and I just automatically thought that they knew about those fellas, you know. But I love teaching Civil War history. Of course, Abraham Lincoln, my father was named, it was born on Lincoln's birthday and all those things. So the decisions that as a president he had to make and ultimately kept our country together and all those things, I think those are, he was probably the one man that I talked about most in trying to draw examples towards our football team. But I used to try and do it. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Hey, Eric, a week ago we weren't sure if we were going to see you up there again. Were you pretty confident you were coming back?
I felt good about the things that we did, and I was excited about the chance to meet with Mike and really having a chance to sit down with him and spend some time. I'm more excited now, and I think this is a really fantastic situation for me personally and for us organizationally. And like I said, it's unique, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
How would you characterize those meetings with Mike? He gave us a little bit of insight into them yesterday. How would you describe them?
I thought they were great.
I told him to say that.
I couldn't have been happier with him. It was just honest, really honest conversations, and that was I think important to him, and I know it was important to me, that's how I'd characterize them, just honest discussions.
Are you going to keep your staff now, Eric? Because Mike said it's. All these decisions now will be up to you. Do you envision any changes?
Right now, everybody's in place. Tom Mislinski, the strength coach, his contract's up and won't be renewing that. But besides that, don't foresee anything in the immediate future, but I'd be open to looking at things and seeing what other opportunities are out there.
Did you feel overwhelmed at all last year when you had the other – did you feel overwhelmed at all when you had the other duties piled on you? And do you think it affected your coaching?
It was busy. It was very busy, and it was it would have been positive to have someone to bounce ideas off of and be able to go through that process with. But the situation was the situation that we're in, so move forward and try to do the best that I could in the circumstances.
Mike, are spoiled in terms of going to the playoffs, and people here are just so starved for even a 9-7 team. In your discussions with Eric and Mike, what did they say about how long it's going to take?
Well, we've really never kind of had that exact conversation. You know, next year, we want to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's obviously the goal of all of us. But it is I didn't come here not to be in the playoffs. I mean, there's no question about that. I think, if I'm correct, I think in my 19 years, I think I've had one losing season. I think that's the case. But obviously, winning is a lot more fun than losing. So, that's our goal, is to get this thing into at least a winning record here as soon as possible.
Hey, Tom, can you characterize your time here when you were, in seventh grade and your dad was working here as a scout?
Well, he really didn't. He didn't live here, so he was just here for like any area scout would come in, and I'd come in with him actually, and I actually would come to all the games, which sometimes he wouldn't even be at the games. We'd drive in and we'd go to the games, and sometimes I actually worked as like a loge attendant. They called their suites loges back then at the old stadium. But no, it was great. Obviously they had a great team and very exciting team, and so it was fun. We had a great time. Even I think his last year here, I think I was a freshman in college, and so we had a couple college buddies come down here for the weekend, and we enjoyed it.
So does this have special meaning for you to be able to come back here and be part of the Browns because of that?
Well, yeah, I think it does. Like I said, it's my first first experience in the NFL was here, with my dad, and it was a big difference. We're from a small town in Michigan, and he was a college coach at a Division III school, so the NFL, that was big time, and it is big time. So it is, hopefully, that my first experience was here, and hopefully my last experience is here.
Tommy Slater from WTAM Radio. Welcome to town.
Thank you.
How excited are you about having 11 picks in your first draft here with the Browns, and your philosophy regarding the draft in terms of best athlete need? Some of your thoughts about that.
Well, first the picks. The more picks you can get, the better we are. So that's great. But the philosophy is, everybody says the best available player, and that's the ideal situation, is to not have a need. And obviously Eric and Mike and I will get together and we'll figure out what our needs are and see if we can, solve some of them in free agency. And, that's the best case scenario, is to get some of your needs done in free agency and then, worry about the draft and then take the best available player, because that's the last thing you want to do is force a pick in there when, just because of a need. And so, that's our goal, is to hopefully build this team around, or build this team the way where you don't have to do that. You can draft the best player that's available, and then you don't have to worry about reaching for somebody.
Mike, Les Levine,
Time Warner Cable. I don't know what we're going to say a year from now, but what you're talking about now looks like the way this thing should be formed. Looking back at what happened last year when the opportunity was there, many of us had used the word dysfunctional. Is it fair to say this might have been dysfunctional a year ago as opposed to the way you're structuring it?
I think it'd be kind of unfair for me to comment on that, to be honest with you. I know this in talking with Eric. I look forward to being able to be that person he can bounce things off of. So if he didn't have that person last year, and it sounds like he didn't, I think we're a little bit better off that way, because I think every coach, that's a nice thing to have. Anytime there's a change in an organization, there's going to be changes. There can be changes throughout. I said that the other day in our first meeting. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to lose good people. I don't want to lose good people. So this process going forward, now that Brian's on board and Tom's on board, okay, is to analyze who we have here, who has the same, who will buy into our vision. You know, any organization, you have people, you know, you like everyone going this way together. It doesn't always work that way. So our job, my job now, is to make sure that everyone's thinking the same way. I have to tell you one quick story when I went to Green Bay. And they had, again, and I don't want to repeat myself, but they hadn't won really since Coach Lombardi. It had been 25 years. We talked about earlier about playoffs. They hadn't even maybe won in 25 years, and that was it. So it was a real challenge. I mean, it was a tremendous challenge because everyone wants the same thing. You want it, we want it. And if I told you the story the other day, I apologize, but the controller of the company, the business guy, gave me my first cell phone. Came out and gave me the, I wasn't really a cell phone guy, and he gave me the cell phone, and he said, listen, when you get fired, give the cell phone back. I've been there three days. But that was the thinking. That was kind of the thinking with a lot of people. So the challenge for me and Ron Wolf at the time was to flip that thinking. Not only, quite honestly, hopefully I get a chance to talk to each one of you individually as we move forward here. But the thinking, not only from the inside, but from the outside too. Look, we got to, and that's what our challenge is. That's what our goal. So was it dysfunctional? I won't say that. Do we have to improve? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what our job is.
Mike, Kenny Rhoda from ESPN Cleveland.
Yeah, Ken.
We've had a lot of these unfortunate press conferences where we were meeting a new general manager in the 10, 11 years that the Browns have been back. For Browns fans out there right now listening to this, why is this one going to be different? Why is Tom the right choice and we're not going to have another one of these just a year from now?
Well, you know what? I suppose there are no guarantees in life. You know, I just have to go on what my own experience and the people I've known in this business over the years and what I've seen can happen. And it was my charge by our owner to find people, the best people I can find for these positions, and then define their roles and let's go. And so I believe in them. That's about as best as I can say it right now. I just believe that I know they're going to get this job done. And I don't think this is business as usual. This is not, and then take me out of the equation. We're talking about these fellas here. We will not continue to have these kind of press conferences, I don't believe. You know, we're all in it for the long haul. We believe in each other, and I'm going to make sure that they all play nicely with one another. You know, there's no disagreements. That's my job, okay? So, but I believe in them. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Mike, have you, I know that Eric sent you some DVD on Brady Quinn. What have you concluded?
Well, you know what? Brady hurt himself, of course, and I was asked yesterday about he's going to see. He saw his doctor in Carolina, and then he will be in town next week to see our docs here. I have not studied him enough to make a good judgment on that. I know quarterbacks pretty well, and I want to meet him in person and talk to him. I haven't done that since the combine when he was coming out. So we know this. I will say this. For a team to do well, the quarterback has to play well. How they won games in the last, it wasn't the quarterback, but the ratio of runs to passes in the last 4 weeks of the season are remarkable. Normally you can't win that way. I mean, you can have the greatest running game in the world and play good defense. If you only throw six balls a game, you're not going to win. You know, and so we got to look at that. I want whoever playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns to be the right guy. I want him to succeed because when he succeeds, the team will do well. And I'm going to reserve judgment on that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Okay. Terry Brooks, WWS. My question to both of you guys, why is this situation joining the Browns better than the situations that you both just left?
Why don't we let Brian? Can we let Brian talk first? Because he's feeling real bad up here.
One thing I learned a long time ago: the business guy's role is not to talk and to do it backwards. You know, it's a great opportunity because you're on the with Coach Holmgren coming in and with what Eric had started to build last year, you've got the opportunity to come in and hopefully make a difference that can help get this franchise back to what it can be and should be. You know, the Cleveland Browns are one of the great franchises in our league's history. Wonderful, wonderful tradition, but in recent years it's been a struggle. And you know, to the extent that through the operation and working together, we can get this thing back on track. It'd be great for the people of Cleveland, you know, Northern Ohio, and the kind of the Leighton Browns following that you run into all over the world. I mean, we have our neighbors everywhere you go, Los Angeles, Miami. We've got people my family runs into, the Browns fans. They're everywhere, and they're looking for a winner, and hopefully, you know, the work that we can get done here can help get that done.
You know, I kind of wore Brian down. I interviewed him to come to Seattle. Was it 5 years ago?
Yeah.
5 years ago, and I really gave it my best shot. You know, I used to sell cars, so I gave it my absolute best shot, and I thought I had him. And he said, you know, he left me at the altar. You know, but so this time I got him. I knew the mistakes I made. See, I made mistakes as a general manager, and I made mistakes. I didn't make the same mistakes again, and I'm not going to make the same mistakes here. So we got him, which is a good thing.
Eric, with the influence of Mike and Tom, do you see your philosophies as to how you run your offense and defense changing at all with their input, or do you feel things are going to be status quo offensively and defensively, philosophical-wise?
I think one of the most important parts of my philosophy is flexibility. And that's something that I know we've talked a lot about in here, and that's what has driven the types of players that I've always liked coaching and looked for. And you want to be able to take new ideas, infuse those ideas into whether it's the playbook or game planning, and that becomes the Browns' identity. And there's a lot of different things that you can do, and there's a lot of studying that you do in the off season as to how you can improve the system and what is unique for us and really good for us is to be able to pick Mike's brain and build on the things that he's done very well for a long time. Talked a little bit about Bill Callahan in the past and Brian Schottenheimer and the different groups that they came from and the ideas that they brought in, but that became the Jets philosophy. And it was a fusion of all those different ideas. And if you don't look into those things and try to improve every year, then you stop growing and you don't have that opportunity. So I think this is a good situation.
Those discussions will happen before free agency. I mean, in the pursuit of new players, you're going to know exactly what you might want to do on the field.
Well, can I interrupt? Excuse me, Eric. You know, and what we have to do and what we will do before we start free agency and before this is right now we're all kind of running. And when things kind of slow down a little bit, we have a chance to really have some constructive meetings. What I want and what Tom will want is Eric will make it very clear the type of player he wants, the type of team he wants. Right now we haven't had those discussions yet. Then it's Tom's job and my job to a certain extent to try and find the right fit to make it work for him. And I think that's the approach we'll take. It's not like we're not going to change the system so all of a sudden we're going to have a different type of player. He is coaching this football team, and he has to let us know his vision and kind of how he would like to set the thing up, and then it's our responsibility to get that done for him.
Mike, I know you talked about Josh Kripp last night on the conference call. Are you okay with the fact that he has decided to take the public road?
Well, I think I'd rather that not happen, you know, but, I mean, look, we've been at this a long time. haven't we? And I can't. Is anyone surprised? I mean, no. So it you know, that's just the way it is. So I said what I said. I'll say it again. We as an organization will not negotiate in the press. We will not do that. Okay? But I love Josh Cripps. And so I'm hopeful things work out and everyone's happy at the end of the day. So, but, you know, it is what it is, as they say. And so we're going to keep trying, though, and then hopefully they keep trying. And we want him to be here, and we want him to be successful because, you know, he's a good player for us.
Can we go back to Brady Quinn for 1 second? Did his doctors conclude that he does not need the surgery?
That's my understanding, yes. Now, again, he has another meeting next week.
This is for Tom. I'm like, how do you approach free agency and what's going to look like an uncapped year, and when you don't know if perhaps there's going to be a salary cap down the line?
Tommy, go ahead.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's going to take a lot of players off the market. You know, obviously, if you're, you know, used to be if you're 4 years in the league, you're a free agent. Now it's going to be six if that's the case. So, you know, I think there's 220-some guys or less players that are going to be available. So, you know, for that, from that view, it's going to be a little more difficult to get players. But from the uncapped year from a organization standpoint, you know, we're just going to treat it as normal. We'll just have to deal with the guys that are available, and we'll look at those guys and decide if there's anybody that can help us.
But I guess what I mean is, so say you sign X number of players and now your salary levels, whatever, but then say in 2000 and there's an agreement, now you can end up being way over the cap, so then what do you do?
Well, that's, you know, that's the decisions, you know, that's what, you know, Brian's going to be a big part of that too. It's those are the things you have to weigh. You know, is it going to be you pay a guy an absorbent amount of signing bonus or salaries to the bigger name free agents and, you know, just hope for the best and see what happens. But, and we'll come up with a salary structure from, you know, from this year, not only this year, but for the next, you know, 2-3 years out, and just see where we are cap wise and see what we can handle and what we can't. So, and then we'll make those decisions.
Mike, when you spoke of making sure everybody played nicely, that doesn't preclude a devil's advocate or a kind of a link in the cabinet.
No. Trust me. In fact, we talked about it earlier. There will be times, I mean, there will be some disagreements, I am sure of that. You know, and I've always thought that was healthy. You never want in your cabinet or any sort of structure, yes men. You don't want that. You want people that will speak their mind. You want sharp people that are thoughtful, and as long as the vision's the same, you might have a different way of getting there or a different idea on how to get there, but you have the same vision. Then you can make that work. You can make that work. So I think I know that's the type of structure we're going to have, and I'm expecting good discussion. You know, but I'm confident. I'm confident that we can make this thing work that way.
Tom, now that you're on board, okay, what's priority number one for you, the general manager?
Well, I think almost like what Mike was saying, you know, we have to really evaluate the team that we have right now. You know, and then obviously with Eric's help, and, you know, Eric and I, you know, spoke, you know, a lot about some of the players, and he, you know, showed me some of the things that they do here, you know, from a I guess a personnel evaluation process and how their coaches do everything, and so I'm just getting up to date on all that stuff, and I'll take a look at it, and Mike will do the same, and then obviously sit down with Eric and the coaches and decide, you know, what we need to be a better football team.
Tom, Terry, my dear, how much of the draft did you do in Philadelphia, and are you going to be like setting up the board or doing things here? How's it going to work in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very similar to that. You know, I'm going to do the same thing, get all the scouts in, and I'll set the board along with Mike and Eric. And you know, like, you know, Mike said and Eric said, it's going to be a Cleveland Browns decision. And I've had this question asked, you know, over the last 10 years, and it's you know, it's never going to be one person saying I want this guy when five other people don't want that guy. It's it never works, and so we'll come up with a player that we think fits our scheme and our organization, and that's the kind of guy we'll take.
Usually, I imagine you have to go like one guy is like spending a lot more time looking at the draft than somebody else just because of, you know, responsibilities.
Right. Oh, yeah, well, that's my job is to watch everybody, set the board, and give Eric and Mike, you know, try to, you know, weed it out a little bit and to just have them look at the players we're going to take or the guys that we feel as scouts that we feel are good for this football team.
Tom, you said why you didn't come here last year. What changed to this year? Why did you say yes this time around?
Well, I think, you know, obviously with Mike, you know, being on board and Andy and Mike being very good friends and hearing all the good things that Andy had to say about Mike, that definitely helped. And, you know, I knew more of what I was getting involved in with Mike here. And I think it was just, you know, and I think anybody that's been in this business as long as I have and Mike's has and everybody here, it's just, you know, I was at Miami for 10 years and Philadelphia for 9 years, and it was just, I felt if I was going to leave, it was a good time to leave, and it's an exciting time.
Mike, from the standpoint that Jerome Harrison was such a prominent player the last few games, could you share your preliminary thoughts on what kind of player he is and where he might fit next year?
Well, I love him as a player. I mean, I thought what he did at the end of the season was remarkable, and the fact that it appeared as though the teams that Cleveland played knew that that's kind of how the way it was going to go. And still, they got it done. So, you know, 286 yards, is that what he had in the one game?
Yeah.
That's a lot of yards. So, but again, that's a decision. I know Eric was happy with him. Who wouldn't be? You know, someone had to step up and get that done. And then weather, when it gets cold and you can have a good running game and you can control the clock, all those things, it's nice to have a guy you can give the ball to like that. I like him a lot, clearly.
Tom, did you require final say to come here? And is final say a huge deal in your mind?
First of all, it's not a huge deal, and to be honest with you, I did not. I had it in my contract where I didn't. I could leave if I wanted to, and the Eagles were great about it. And they always told me, like I said earlier, if I felt there's a place that I wanted to go, they were more than happy to let me do that, and I appreciated that.
Eric, when you came here, you laid out to us the type of players you wanted, your vision for an organization moving forward. Now that Mike is here, Tom is here, it's been reshaped a little bit. How much has that changed or been altered? Or do you think with, you know, having these two here that it's business as usual and exactly what you envisioned and how you want it going forward?
Well, there's always been a lot of carryover between the drafts I've been involved in and the Philadelphia drafts. You probably remember this. Well, you probably don't remember it as well as I do. But in 06, we traded with Philly. And I really liked this one guy. Really wanted this one guy in the third round. And we traded back, I think it was 3 or 4 spots. And we're going through it and we're thinking, okay, well, Buffalo, they don't need a linebacker. These guys don't need a linebacker. Okay, we'll do the trade. So we trade with these guys and they take the player I really wanted. This guy, Chris Gokong. And there are a bunch of other players they took that we had very similar grades on the board. And they have a lot of the not just types of players, but types of people on their roster. So I think that I've always had an appreciation, especially since that experience, of how similar we are in that sense.
Hey, Mike, I was curious, as a USC guy, your thoughts on Pete Carroll going to Seattle?
Well, it's I was surprised by the whole thing a little bit there, I'll be honest with you. Pete's a wonderful coach. He's had a great record at USC. In fact, when they started going, I resubmitted my $10 a month to the alumni fund. they were going so well there. But, you know, I will say this. The college game and the pro game are two different animals. They really are. And but the thing is, he's had experience in the pro game as well. You know, Seattle's a wonderful place. You know, my kids are all there, and we had a great run there, and it was great. And now I'm so looking forward to being here. I guess that's the best way to put it. And I wish those guys well, but now, you know, I'm converting all my blue stuff to brown, you know.
Hey, guys, a couple more, and then we'll make Eric and Tommy available on the side.
Cleveland Browns will have to make a decision on Dante Stallworth in a month. Can you express what the club's position on Stallworth is going forward when he becomes reinstated?
Not yet, Tony. Not yet. You know, but soon we will. We will let you know what's going on, but not today.
You and Mike both said you really didn't know each other. You had, you know, several days of meetings. You thought they went well. You felt good about what you guys had done this season, especially down the stretch. When Mike tells you, hey, we're going to go forward with this, we're going to keep status quo, what was the thought that went through your mind? How did that feel?
It felt great. It felt great. It felt great for a lot of reasons, because I did feel very strongly with the things that we had done. And I didn't know Mike, but I knew of Mike. And obviously his body of work speaks for itself. And be able to sit down with somebody and spend time with them and have them come to that conclusion, it's really positive. It's a really positive experience. And then just to be able to sit down with someone and talk football in depth from a lot of different perspectives, whether it was head coaching decisions or personnel decisions or all those things, you don't get that opportunity. There's no continuing education classes for head coaches. There's no clinics. Those things don't exist. So that was it was invigorating for me personally after a long season. I got to tell you, it was a long season. So,
in your responsibility, and Mike maybe could help too, like, is that like salary cap and that kind of stuff? Is that?
I've got that in my background. I cut my teeth on that before we had the salary cap, and kind of in the early days of the salary cap, and so we'll work on that, and we'll work with Mike and Tommy and Eric and on what our strategy is and how we're going to handle that. Done all that and available to do as much or as little as we need to do. It's a skill set. I've done it, but we'll be working together on those issues as a group.
Very creative about new revenue streams. Is that something you're looking into, or is the NFL such a monstrous thing that you don't worry that much about it?
Well, I think part of that is, again, we're just getting our feet on the ground here, and a couple things we'll want to do is just make sure that, you know, that we have a clearer understanding of, you know, what Mike and Randy want to get accomplished with the business side of the operation, and I think most importantly they would tell you is they want to make sure that the fans feel connected to the team more than money or more than other things, is that, you know, Cleveland's they've got such great support and historically have enjoyed such great support that their fan base feels connected to the team and that we put something out there that makes them very proud.
Hey, Mike, real quick. In both Green Bay and Seattle, you had kind of another prominent layer of your cabinet, you know, men like Reggie McKenzie, Will Lewis, Director of Pro Personnel. Is that still a possibility here that you could add on?
I think it is. It was important. And I think you would understand to get the two building blocks in place as soon as possible. And now, as Brian and I work together to set up kind of the flow chart on the business side, and Tom and I work on the flow chart on the football side, people that I know, friends of mine, you mentioned two of them, Will Lewis and Reggie McKenzie, unbelievably talented men. And there are a handful of others that we're considering. I hope that I can get a couple more of those guys to come on board in some capacity. Now, exactly, NFL is a wonderful thing of titles. There's a million titles. We can have, and so I'm getting real creative. I'm going to have a lot of titles floating around. And so if Randy lets me, we're going to have guys all over the place doing all sorts of things. But those two guys are special. They're good men.
As GM, whatever that title means in your situation now, what can you do to make a difference for this organization as ASAP?
Well, I mean, obviously my main job is to find players, and, that's what I intend to do. The scouting staff we have here, and I'm going to get with them, and, you know, we're going to, you know, start on the free agency stuff here and then get on, you know, the Senior Bowls in a couple weeks and just, you know, jump right in. But that's my job, is to find players.
Mike, you take all the
knowledge you gained scouting and preparing for the 2010 draft while you were the Eagles, do you just park that over here with you, or how does that work?
I mean, the stuff that I've already done this year?
Yeah.
I gotta be careful about that. I have that stuff that I've done this year. I have that with me. But so,
when you were talking to Randy about how your management team, I assume you talked to Randy about how your management team.
Yeah, I talk to him every day.
No, I mean when you were interviewing and
sure.
getting
sure.
say a couple go all back a couple weeks.
Sure.
Did you think you could get what you got up there now? A couple weeks ago.
Well, you know, I think I told you earlier on, I as a coach, I had always had lists ongoing. If I lost a coach, I'd already have a list, so I wouldn't have to compile a new list right when it happened. And so even though I promised Kathy I took this last year off, when she was going shopping, I was making my list. So I had these fellows clearly were on the list, at the top of the list. Now, did I think I could get them? Brian said no to me once. Tom, I didn't know if I could ever get him out of Philly, you know. But hope springs eternal, you know. And here we did it. So that's why I'm so excited about this. These are really quality men who are good at their jobs, and so now we just. Move forward.
Great. Guys, what we'll do is we'll take a quick photo here, and then we'll make Eric and Tom available for informal one-on-ones down here along with Brian.